Good morning and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11, God willing, on 850 WFTL in South Florida. We are live today, so get ready to call. Yes, it's September 12th. We're live. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. The firm has attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. And we'd like to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. So give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Contact Us tab.
All Eric. Right. Yes, I'm back.
Yay, and your mommy's here.
Absolutely. Sitting listening to the show.
Yay.
And, of course, everybody, if you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list that continues to grow. By joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars. I can't believe they're actually coming up soon in like 2 weeks live.
Yay!
Our newsletters, updates on the law, and a whole lot more. Of course, as you know, we do a blog every Monday morning at hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, to beg or borrow, what's a condo to do now when it needs money?
Good one.
But as you alluded to, Karen, before we start, I just want to say that it is wonderful, and I mean wonderful, to be back doing the show live. As the saying goes, right, rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated, right? But I did have some health issues that I unfortunately had to deal with, and it all had to do with two ugly words: kidney stones.
Da-da-da.
Oh my God, it was a disaster.
That's so painful.
Oh, you have no idea. If you never had it, you can't even describe it.
But this has been like your fourth or fifth one.
Yeah,
right?
But it certainly is. But for whatever reason, I'm prone to them. But, you know, listen to how it started. I got another attack, actually, really started at the beginning of the summer.
Sounds like a scary movie, Attack of the
right?
Kidney Stones.
Right. I was able to tolerate it until about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, bless your heart.
So we schedule surgery in like an outpatient facility. I get there earlier in the morning. They put me under general anesthesia. Here we go, right? I wake up from the anesthesia and the room is filled with doctors and nurses. Not a good sign.
No, never.
They're typically home already by the time you wake up.
Right.
And I hear, Mr. Glazer, sorry, we didn't do the surgery. And I'm like, why not? Why didn't you do the surgery? And they tell me I basically crashed. My blood pressure went, get this, to 65 over 35. Isn't that crazy?
That's like dead, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So we did everything we could to wake you up. And from now on, we got to do the surgery in a hospital, not in an outpatient facility.
Yeah, just ask Joan Rivers, yeah. So.
Right, exactly, yes.
Then you wound up in Hollywood Memorial.
Yep, yeah, I wound up in Hollywood Memorial. You know, a few days later, I had the surgery. All went well, right? And I go home with these kidney stents, which are painful.
Oh, lovely.
I'm sure there's some
guys. Sounds lovely, yeah.
It's terrible. And but a few days later, they get taken out. So far, so good. 2 days later, I am in excruciating pain. Back in the hospital,
no.
Had the surgery all over again.
No.
Yeah, and this time I was in the hospital for a week, and I can tell you, the worst week ever. Where I think the worst week of my life. I came home with a stent again. But I think, Karen, I think you called me and I said, sorry, not taking calls.
Talk.
Bye.
And
yeah.
But you want to explain the stent and how it works?
I don't want to explain the stent. No, no. Just for a man, it's the worst thing that can. Your worst nightmare is the stent, believe
okay.
me. But now it's been removed, feeling well, I'm back at work,
yay!
And let's just hope it stays that way, please.
Oh well,
yeah.
Eric, I am so glad you're okay, and I'm sure every one of our listeners feels the same way. And drink. Just don't drink iced tea and eat ice cream, because that causes kidney stones.
That can cause it, you're right, that's exactly right.
We're in the kidney stone belt.
Yep.
I mean, actually, Florida leads the country in kidney stone incidents. Mm. It's hot, and we sweat a lot, and we don't hydrate enough.
Exactly.
And in this hot and humid weather, staying hydrated is a key to avoiding kidney stones, plus iced tea and ice cream.
You are 100% right. That's what all the doctors told me. You know, there you have it. Free medical advice on the show today for everybody, right?
Usually I pretend to be a lawyer.
Right. But let's move on and put this kidney stone issue behind us, hopefully forever. I'm telling you.
I would
never want to
deal
with that again. And, of course, yesterday marked the 20th anniversary of 9/11. certainly one of the most terrifying and scariest days for anyone that was alive on that date. Amazing how many, you know, kids weren't even alive on that date and don't even know what happened.
The two little girls that played in the U.S. Open were not alive on that
date. Alive. Incredible.
Yeah,
really,
I mean,
amazing.
It's one of those days, they were in the finals, on 9/11 in New York. But anyway, one of those days that everyone will remember if you're 30 or older, you know,
where
you were and when those planes hit the towers and when they fell. Yeah. I mean, it just kept getting worse.
Kept getting worse. And you wouldn't believe this. For me, that morning, I'm involved in a very serious police investigation, and I could not get to a TV. I knew what was going on, but I simply couldn't get to a TV. I couldn't see it. And my buddy Michael calls me, and he tells me, can you believe that the buildings fell? And I remember continuously asking him, what do you mean? And he's like, Eric, the buildings are not there anymore. And I keep saying to him, like, I don't understand. What do you mean? And he's like, what are you not understanding? The buildings are not there anymore. And, you know, after having been inside those buildings so many times,
right,
and job interviews, law school stuff, and knowing just they were cities. They were literally like two cities. It was incredible. And, you know, knowing their immense size, I could not wrap my head around the fact that those buildings aren't there anymore. I had to see it. And until I saw it, I simply couldn't believe what someone was telling me.
I think it took, amazing, 5 or 10 years to build them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So was there, and by the way, let's qualify, you were part of a serious police investigation that morning, but it wasn't for you for murder, right?
No, I wasn't under investigation. Absolutely not. Yeah.
All right. Well, and was there a change in the condo or HOA community after 9/11?
Yeah, I got to tell you, if we're being honest, there certainly was for a period of time. I was getting so many calls from many communities that were afraid to allow anybody to move into the community if they had any prior connection to any Middle Eastern country previously. You know,
really?
I remember many a phone call where I had to tell clients, listen, you got to relax. You can't just reject somebody because of their nationality or their religion or simply the sounding of their last name. You know, I certainly understood the fear that people were going through, but somehow, some way in this insane situation, we had to find a way to stay sane and continue to make rational decisions in our associations without unjustifiably discriminating. And people were having a hard time with it for a while.
You know, as we know, after Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese, we overreacted
and
we put Japanese Americans in internment camps.
Exactly. Crazy, right? And I can tell you that right now I personally know American families that are Muslim and really went through hell after 9/11. Kids, little kids getting bullied and beaten in school. Their parents were shunned by the neighbors. And these families were every bit American and every bit as sickened by what happened as any other American family. And it was really a crazy time. I think it took some time, you know, maybe several years. But thank God that attitude has seemed to change.
Thank God. And it certainly is a different world than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, God. You know.
You know.
You have to
go to an airport and get on a flight in order to understand that.
Well, I remember the days when you either picked someone up from the airport or dropped them off, you were really able to walk them right onto the plane without going through any metal detectors. It was, you know, that seems crazy today. And I remember picking people up at the airport. I would pay a cop a few bucks to double park right in front.
Right.
I'd go in for
a
half hour.
Is that how it works?
I'm telling you, I would do it all the time. I'd walk right up to the gate without going through any metal detectors and pick up my family members. And it is such a different world. I got to tell you, I miss that world. It was a lot more trusting, more innocent. And before 9/11, I don't think we really knew just how evil man could be to man.
No, you know? It's so true.
Yeah, to unarmed, innocent civilians. So
they came up with these wicked schemes. And
terrible,
they were,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
So as a result of those cowardly acts on 9/11, the world will unfortunately be forever changed. And the world will never be that innocent ever again. But I'd love to know what our listeners think. We're here to take your calls. Again, we are live. Glad to be back. We'll take your calls on 9/11, certainly, if you want to address that. Or give us a call in the studio regarding anything else in the condo or HOA world. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website, pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We are live the day after September 11th, and you can give us a call. Right now, the phone lines are jammed. To ask Eric a question, he's been off the air a couple of weekends, so you've probably got a bunch of pent-up anger and aggression. 877-850-8585. Oh, boy, Eric. 877-850-8585. Put on your Kevlar.
Here we go. All right, first call back is Joe from Boynton. How are you, Joe?
Hello.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Yes, I hardly hear you. Yes, a simple question, I hope.
Yes.
Vaccination. Can a clubhouse limit the access to the clubhouse for vaccinated people only? And if that is not possible, can they set up the pool to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday for vaccinated people, and then Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for all residents?
Okay, I like your option B better than I like your option A, and I will tell you that, and things are developing in this area really quick, literally as we speak. Karen, as you know, the governor actually won a really big case where he issued an executive order saying that all the local school boards cannot force the kids to wear masks even, right? And that was upheld by an appellate court now. And I got to tell you, I think that if a board came out with a rule now that said, nope, sorry, you got to show your vaccination, I think that would be struck down by a court for a number of reasons, just like the appellate court did in favor of DeSantis the other day.
Yeah.
So, but would a rule that says, okay, vaccinated people one day, unvaccinated people the next day? I think that's probably perfectly legal. Is it a rule that is reasonable? Yes, I think that at this time in our history, it is a reasonable rule, right? It allows people who don't want to get vaxxed the ability to use the pool. And it also takes into consideration the health and safety of the people who are afraid of those people who are not vaxxed. So I think, yeah, that's a very reasonable rule at this point, and I for a board to put into play. And I think a court would have a lot more trouble striking that down than an outright rule that says you're not using the pool unless you're vaxxed. So, Joe, good question. And then I got no problem if an association tried to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I have one order for you.
Yes.
Stay out of hospitals.
Stay out. From your mouth to God's ears, Joe. Believe me, I hope so. All right? Certainly have no reason for wanting to go back, and I appreciate it. How about we go to John and Davey?
Yes, good morning, Eric. Welcome
back.
Hey,
John, how are you?
Recovery.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, just two questions really quickly. First of all, I think about 3 years ago, you were speaking of, I think it was a Florida ordinance that had changed with regard to removal and removal of the trees and HOAs.
Yeah, okay.
And am I correct in saying that if you had an arborist or a landscape design company determine the tree was a danger to people or property, you could then pull it out and without permit, you didn't have to replace that tree?
That is exactly right.
Can you re-educate me on that? Was that a Florida statute, actually?
That was a Florida statute, and I've got to tell you, there was no need to re-educate you because you hit it right on the money. If an arborist tells you that a tree is a danger to persons or property, then yes, you have the ability now to remove that tree without getting a permit and without an obligation to replace it. And if you remember, removing a tree was like, forget about it.
It was
an impossible thing to do, basically.
There were like eight people hugging it at the
time. Yeah, you had to go to your local building official, get a permit, pay money, agree to replace the tree, or how about this? If you didn't want to replace it in your home, many cities had situations that said, okay, you're going to replace the tree at our local public park, or you're going to put in a tree in one of the dividers between the lanes. You know what I'm saying? You were forced to contribute a tree to the community, but no longer they can't do it anymore. You're
okay,
100%
Eric,
correct.
Along with that, it was a Florida statute, so that would then override or supersede any local municipality ordinance regarding trees, yes?
Absolutely. I can tell you that there's some municipalities that are still giving HOAs some hassle about it, but my take always on it was if HOA took that municipality to court, the HOA is going to prevail.
Okay, great. Funny things you learn listening to your show. Quickly, the other thing was this. Our board decided out of nowhere that they were going to put people on the violations or the CEC committee.
Okay.
And the way they went about it is our then president called up certain people and said, we want you and we want you and we want you on the CEC committee. And at the same time, mentioned other names and said, now, we don't want this person, or this person. And in that conversation, impugned and besmirched the character of those people that she did not want on that committee. Now, to me, it seems that that should have been a notice meeting with an agenda item and should have been open to all somehow. Do I have this wrong, or was that a violation of Sunshine Law?
That
doesn't sound right to me at all.
Well, if it was just one person on the board calling other people, right? So it wasn't as if a majority or a quorum of the board members got together. So it's not a meeting, so it wouldn't have to be noticed. Now, the other thing about potentially defaming the people that she didn't want on the committee to the people that she did want on the committee. You know, those things happen all the time. And I can tell you, I tell you, I was involved in a case many years ago, really interesting case, where the board members went so far as to put those types of things in writing and slip it under the doors of the people that lived in the community.
You're kidding.
And I will tell you, they're very interesting. I represented the plaintiff in that case, and I remember Judge Andrews was the judge. May he rest in peace, handlebar mustache, and here in Broward, and great, great judge.
Love it.
And I asked the court for punitive damages, punishment damages, against the association because the what they accused my client of was basically criminal conduct, you know, really terrible things. And my evidence was that what was slipped under the door, this flyer. And the judge and the other side argued, the attorney for the association argued, well, they have no evidence and the for punitive damages. And the judge says, what are you talking about? What about the actual thing that was slipped under the door that's attached to Eric's complaint? That's good enough for me. Punitive damages granted. So boards better be careful about what they say about other people in the community. Mm-hmm. And if they put it in writing, that you can get sued and be subject to punitive damages, by the way, which isn't covered by insurance.
So, Eric, the fact that they didn't hold a meeting with an agenda item and they, the president called people,
did they appoint those people to the committee on the phone call, actually? Or did they have a subsequent meeting where they were appointed?
Subsequent to that phone call from the then president, another board member came around, knocked on one of the person's doors, and said, oh, by the way, congratulations on your appointment to the committee.
Totally illegal. Those people had to be appointed at a board meeting where a quorum of board members were present, and it had to be properly noticed, and obviously it was not. So, no, that was totally illegal appointments to the board. To the committee, absolutely,
right,
no question.
Okay.
John,
thank you so much for the phone call. God bless.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, John. How about we go to Barry in Miami?
Yeah, hi, Eric.
Hey, Barry. Thank you so much. And Karen, we got to get ready when Barry has a question. Got to pull out the dictionaries. We've got to pull out the statutes. Here we go. How are you, Barry?
Softball question, Eric.
Okay, here we go.
It's an easy one. Regarding closed door board meetings and the personnel exception, is a management employee considered personnel, or must they be an actual employee of the association?
That is a great
question. And assume
the
management agreement is very, very clear that the board has no ability to hire, fire, supervise, do any of those things with regard to the management employees.
Sure.
It's all a management company that does that.
Right. Okay. You're 100%. So it has to stay. The statute says board meetings regarding personnel matters, right, can be closed door, meaning that the community doesn't necessarily have the right to attend. So, Barry, what you're asking, in effect, is, you know, what in the world does personnel matters mean? What about if you're having problems with a management company who is not really an employee of the association, right? They're a subcontractor. You have a contract with them. You certainly have no control over the people that work for the management company. So can you have a closed-door meeting with a quorum of board members present with the management company? Do they constitute personnel matters? And my answer, even though there's not one case out there, not one, that I'm aware of, and I would say no, they do not constitute, that does not constitute personnel matters. And we'll elaborate a little bit on that. So no one really can give you a definition of what personnel matters really mean. I can tell you, Barry, the intent of the statute. The intent of the statute was not that boards have the ability to say, okay, we're going to have a closed-door meeting to hire a new law firm, a new accountant firm, a new management company, a new landscaper. It's all going to be closed-door because it's all personnel matters. That was not the intent of that statute. The intent of that statute to allow a closed-door meeting was, so if you have a situation with an employee that requires that employee to be disciplined or terminated, you don't want to have to do that in front of the entire community, right? That would be a terrible, embarrassing thing. the statute allows for some discretion to have a closed-door meeting so the community doesn't see this person, you know, literally get beat up. That's the intent of that statute. I don't think the intent of that statute is to have closed-door meetings with every single potential contractor, meaning it could be the landscaper, it could be the management company, it could be the roofing company, and I don't think you can consider all of them personnel matters that would allow for a closed-door meeting, because then the statute literally would have no effect whatsoever. It would be way too broad. But I think the question is a fantastic one. It needs to be clarified in the statute. And again, Barry, thanks for keeping us on our toes. We got to take our bottom of the hour break. Keep the calls coming in, everybody. So glad to be back. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstel, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget. And now, services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier Counties. Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He is back and he's healthy and he's ready to take your calls at 877-850-8585. He's also back and healthy enough to have in-person classes. These are classes he invented instead of signing those documents that you understand what's going on become a board member. No, he educates you for free and feeds you and gives you everything in writing and a certificate and everything. It's amazing. And when do those classes begin?
Well, you say I'm back. I got to tell you, the election season's back, right? You start hitting like October and November, and you got to start preparing for all your election procedures. And of course, as you know, you got to get certified within 90 days of getting on the board. If not, you're off the board. Best way to get certified, what I'll say, is take our Condo Craze board certification class. I've taught it now to over 20,000 Floridians all across the state. It was approved by the DBPR. Also to provide two 2020 legal update credits for community association managers. And here we go. Karen, you talk about being back on the radio. I can't wait to be standing in front of a crowd again.
I'm sure. You've been doing anything
teaching
on
the
Zoom.
Class. I really can't wait to do it. And the first one coming right up on October 5th, 9 o'clock in the morning at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo. Right here in Broward at the Signature Grand, October 5th.
Yeah, that's right off 595 in Hiatus. That's a great location. Then the day after, you're all the way up in Orlando at the Orlando Convention Center, 9 a.m.
Yep, and a couple days later, October 12th in Miami Beach at the Miami Beach Convention Center.
October 14th, Palm Beach at the Palm Beach County Convention Center.
And we conclude the month on October 28th in Tampa at the Tampa Convention Center. Can't wait.
Awesome. So you teach so many different topics. Even if you've been before, go again because everything changes.
Absolutely. And that's especially why this year, I can tell you, a lot of changes coming.
Really? So This is including reserves, the importance of the from time to time language. If you're like, What does that mean? You need to go. Official records, different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals, collections, manager responsibilities. They're not supposed to like usurp the board's power, by the way.
Yeah, no and legal opinions.
That's
absolutely
right. They can't become an attorney all of a sudden. And all of the new laws that were passed this year, as many of them that Eric is behind, and a lot more. Of course, he serves the food. Everybody walks out with a frameable certificate and certainly much, much wiser.
Yeah, to register everybody, just you can go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com, click on the seminar tab. And again, we look forward to seeing everybody. Karen, you mentioned a crazy, crazy situation that happened in regard to Surfside.
It was sickening. There were seven people that had their identity stolen, five of whom died in the Surfside condo collapse. And there's actually audio up at our website, 850WFT.com, of the Barclays call. The woman calls them and says that everything was lost in the collapse. And the woman is like, "I'm so sorry. We'll get your credit card up and running again." They took $45,000. You know, preying on the dead.
They deserve. I tell you, you catch them. They deserve to be. Anybody see the movie Midnight Express, where the guy spends the time in that Turkish prison?
Yes.
You do that to the dead people at Surfside, and I swear that's where you belong. You belong in that type of situation. There isn't a prison mean enough for you. That's how I feel about it. If you can do something like that,
that's really low.
You have no soul, right? I mean, no soul at all. All right, back to the phones. How about we go to Bob in Margate?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. It's me. I have two questions. One's pretty short, and the other one, I don't know how that's going to go. But the first question I have is, I have a person that wants to be on the board. He inherited the house. He's not 55. We have an over 55 community. Is it okay for him to serve only being 53, but he is a homeowner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it makes no difference. Let's talk a few things about a 55 and over community. The important thing about a 55 and over community, the only thing the association really needs to care about is occupancy, right? That at least one person in the unit is 55 or over. And an 18-year-old can own the unit. It's irrelevant as long as someone occupying the unit is 55 or over. And I can tell you that your documents, I'm sure, state that any owner, and the statute would back it up, any owner has the right to serve on the board of directors. Being 55 is not a requirement to serve on the board of directors. You can be younger than 55. Okay? So that answers the first one. Now you got to find a way to take your second one and condense it.
What can I do to about an unruly homeowner that keeps interrupting? We've had to adjourn twice now, the last two meetings, because she is just totally out of control.
This is a condo or an HOA?
HOA. I even had a police officer at the last one.
That's a good idea. Well, videotape it. Are you videotaping these meetings?
Well, we do have a camera installed by our Vector.
Okay,
but,
I think
we're not actually videotaping them.
Okay. At the start of the meeting, okay, I can tell you people act less crazy when they know they're being videoed. So the board should set a rule that says we are now videotaping all of our meetings, right? And we'll be using them if necessary in a court of law or at mediation or at arbitration or whatever we got to go. We got to do to keep these meetings running professionally. So everybody who talks, the board, including the board, people in the audience, you will be videotaped. Okay. And I can tell you, if you start with that, it's been my experience that people know when they're being videotaped, they better not act crazy because it can and will be used against them later on.
It's every minute of the day you're being videotaped,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Wherever but you go.
You should have that done regularly at board meetings, and I can tell you, if you give it a shot, you announce it earlier, at the start of the meeting, I can tell you, I think your meetings are going to go smoother. Okay?
But is there a point where I can actually have the police officer escort her out if she won't be quiet?
I think you can. Sometimes, I've had many, many situations where sometimes the police will absolutely cooperate and do that, right? And you have a tough cop there. They will threaten the person with arrest for disturbing the peace, right? Or disorderly conduct. And if you don't quiet down, you're going to get arrested for it. And some officers are like, look, really, this is kind of a civil matter. So oftentimes it depends what type of officer you actually get at the meeting. But regardless of that, videotape, okay? Hey, we got to take our final break of the hour. And when we come back, everybody, we're going to talk about a really special event that we're doing next Saturday, okay? Next Saturday in Doral. So we'll talk about that when I get back. Keep the calls coming, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? DMI Paving and Seal Coating can help. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is the largest seal coating company in the United States, an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let DMI Paving and Seal Coating pave the way and make your community look great. At DMI Paving and Seal Coating, they believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Customers include office
office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, condominium and hotel associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. DMI Paving and Seal Coating is a LEED accredited Green Advantage certified environmentally responsible full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. DMI Paving and Seal Coating serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call today for a free estimate, 800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. Or visit DMIPavingandSealCoating.com.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in community association law, and he has a pretty important announcement. By the way, don't wait to the end of the show to call him with your questions. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
All right, here we go. Next weekend, next Saturday, September 18th, really big event that's going to take place in the city of Doral. We're having a town hall meeting on condominium and HOA reform. It's again, September 18th. 10 o'clock in the morning. Where is it going to be? City of Doral Police Substation Facility, 3719 Northwest 97th Avenue in Doral. Now, check out this panel of people who are going to be there. Jan Bergman, president of CCFJ.
Love him.
Melena Macias, chairman of CCFJ Legislative Affairs. Me, Eric Glazer from the law firm of Glazer and Sachs. Juan Carlos Bermudez, he's the mayor of the city of Doral. Julio Robiner, former state representative, right?
Yay.
State Senator Ana Maria Rodriguez from District 39. State Senator Ileana Garcia from District 37.
Love her.
State Representative Daniel Perez from District 116. Raquel Regalado, from the Miami-Dade County Commissioner. Daniel Blake, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at Miami Association of Realtors. And Tamara Reyes, President of South Florida Property Owners Consulting. That's a great panel to discuss condo and HOA reform. Lots of stuff on the agenda. Refreshments are going to be served. To register, just give our office a call, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. As a matter of fact, even John Pistorino is going to be a guest. John is a structural engineer, and John's claim to fame, is John wrote basically the Florida building code.
Really?
Yeah, after Andrew destroyed Florida.
Okay.
John sat down and basically rewrote the Florida building code, and you know, John's the man. You have any questions or issues about engineering, structural engineering, John is the guy, and John will be in attendance. Now, what we're trying to do is figure out if, for those who can't come in person, if we can Zoom it, you know, to anyone in the state. So keep informed. I'll try to send the news blast out. But if you can make it in person, it should be a lot of fun.
And can they ask John about what happened there at Surfside?
Oh, you know John's going to talk about that. Okay. No question about it. And all the new laws that we expect to come out next year. So real fantastic panel. If you want to go, just give us a call, 954-983-1112. All right, how about we go back to the phones? Maria in Cedar Court. Where's Cedar Court?
Cedar Key.
Marie,
Cedar Court is in Hollywood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, in Hollywood. Oh, you're calling from a specific condo.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. How are you, Maria? What's up?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Well, two things now that gentleman brought that up about the closed board meetings. But first thing is, before we run out of time, is, you know, in our docs, it states that the association is responsible for paying for wood repairs, you know, like a fence that divides the units or
right.
A walkway, such stuff like that. Is that kind of thing related to common elements or limited elements allowed to be amended?
Is it allowed to be amended? Yes, if the votes of the community are sufficient, if you have enough people voting to change that, yes. For example, many times communities will vote, especially like townhome communities, that it becomes the obligation of the association to paint homes rather than the obligation of the individual unit owner. Everybody's willing to pay a little more money each month, but everybody's homes get painted by the association. Yes, you can change the repair or maintenance responsibilities of both the unit owners or the association if you get the sufficient votes required by your declaration of condominium to do it, right? Typically, it's like 75% or at least two-thirds. But if you get the votes, yes, you can make those changes, Maria. Does that answer your question?
In some of your literature that I read in the past, I recall reading that the only time you can have a closed board meeting is if there is an attorney present.
Okay, so we spoke about personnel matters, right? No. We spoke about personnel matters. That's one thing. And the other way to have a closed-door meeting is, you're right, the attorney has to be present, and you need to be discussing pending litigation or pending administrative proceedings or imminent proceedings, such as, you know, arbitration cases. Now, sometimes a board will say, we're having a closed-door meeting today, everybody. Nobody can come. Why? Because we're discussing our foreclosure cases. Well, is the attorney going to be there? No. Guess what? It's got to be an open meeting, right? Can't have a closed-door meeting. What makes it a closed-door meeting? The presence of counsel, like you said. So if the attorney is not going to be there, either in person or by phone or by Zoom, then that meeting must be open to all the unit owners. If the attorney is present, yes,
so
then the board can close.
There's no other way you can have a closed meeting unless they're discussing those things.
That's correct. That's right. Times that you get that a board gets together, a quorum of board members get together, got to be an open meeting. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Now, you know what's crazy? I always tell the story, Karen, the way the statute is currently written. It's kind of bizarre because board members are now allowed to communicate via email, right?
Right.
But again, if you have a quorum of board members in attendance, it's considered a meeting and it's got to be open, right?
Right.
So this is how crazy the statute currently is. Now picture this. You're in your condominium now and you're walking past the boardroom, right? And you see all five board members up at the dais and they're talking and they're making decisions on the law, on the condo. And the meeting was not properly noticed. So nobody knew about it. So you stick your head in and you say to the board, what are you guys doing up there?
Right.
Right? The meeting wasn't noticed. Get down, stop the meeting. It's illegal. And they agree. Okay. And they say, we're sorry. We'll never do that again. The next day, you walk past the same room. The same board members are sitting there. This time, though, each one has a laptop computer. Right?
Oh.
They're not talking to each other physically or out loud, right? They're not verbalizing anything.
Oh.
But they are communicating by email, right? Suddenly, that's not considered a meeting, and that's perfectly fine. right? Kind of silly,
that
right?
That is so crazy.
It is crazy,
it's
but
like
that's the way it currently
is. They can't even meet
is.
In the pool.
Yeah, right. But the statute obviously has a flaw at the moment, and it needs to be fixed. But
as
how
long
about
as
we
they
go
have
to,
a laptop, they're good.
They're good, yes, correct. Gary in Palm Beach. Okay, Maria.
Hello?
Yes. Maria,
okay.
Go right ahead.
So I'm sorry. Yeah, it's kind of low, but I can make it out. The event that you're having at Doral, is that like the usual seminars that you have?
No. This is something totally different, totally independent from the seminars, right? This is a meeting regarding condominium and HOA reform, meaning, hey, what new laws should we pass? And I don't have to tell you, a lot of the focus is going to be on how do we prevent another Surfside, right? So, you know, the things that are being spoken about right now is, should we require some form of reserves, right? As we know, many communities, especially 55 and over communities, vote every year to have no reserves, right?
Yep.
And what do we know from the Surfside situation? We know that they needed like $13 to $15 million, something like that, and they only had about $700,000 in the bank. They were near $14 million short. Right? So massive special assessments needed to be passed, $100,000 a unit. Now, we don't want that happening to people. You know, I wrote a blog about this years ago about what's coming. And sure enough, we have situations now where our buildings are approaching the 40-year mark, the 50-year mark, and they don't get better with age. And these massive repairs are coming. So how do we prevent another situation where buildings don't have enough packed away for a rainy day for these necessary repairs? Well, one way is I think we have to stop allowing communities to completely waive reserve funding. Have them put away at least some money that they cannot object to. That's going to be put to, you know, for a reserve account. How about the way we do reserves right now, right? There's no requirement. There used to be a requirement under Florida law that the reserve study be done by an architect or an engineer, that it be done by a professional person. The professional person goes up there and determines what is the life expectancy now of the roof, of the plumbing, of the electrical. Well, that statute was in effect for a few years, and then Governor Charlie Crist vetoed it. Not, I should say vetoed it. He allowed a new statute into place that took away the requirement to have a professional do a reserve study.
And he's running for governor.
And he's running. Now, think about this. Think about how insane this is when we really think about it logically. That Joe, who drove a cab in New York City for 30 years, decides to move down to Florida, get on the board. And Joe now goes up on the roof and says, we want to keep the expenses low here. And Joe says, I know that the prior president here said that the roof only has a 3-year life expectancy. I don't see it that way. I think it has a 15-year life expectancy.
Oh, boy.
I think that the plumbing has a 30-year life expectancy. I think, you know, on and on. Everything is in great shape. We're in great shape here. We don't need reserves. Things are fantastic. You know, Joe might have been a great cab driver at one time, the best in the city, but does that qualify him to go up on and determine the condition of the structures, of the life safety issues at a condominium? I would say no. And I think the way it's currently being done, where you have non-professionals determining the life expectancy of a condominium and the condition of the property, it's insane. I mean, I'm practicing for 30 years in this area, and I can tell you, I am certainly not qualified to go up on a roof and decide what the life expectancy is of the roof or the plumbing or the electrical or anything else for that matter. That's got to be done by professionals. Yeah. It's got to be, quite frankly, it's got to be taken out of, it's got to be taken away from, and a lot of people may not like this, but I'm got to say it, it's got to be taken away from the board of directors to determine what the life expectancy is of the components of the building. The board has, you know, some boards have, you know, a personal agenda. They want to keep things low. They can't afford maybe a higher maintenance, and they're going to find that it has a greater life expectancy than it really does. They obviously are conflicted. They obviously have a conflict. And these life safety issues should be done by professionals. The board shouldn't have a say, quite frankly. And if you do it that way, it's going to lead to saving lives. It's that simple,
Amen.
Karen. It
Amen.
Really is that simple.
Yeah.
So, and I know we went on a little long there, but it's such an important issue, and it's so long overdue. Yes.
Yeah. What is John's last name, the engineer?
John Pistorino.
Pistorino.
Yes.
But you know, Eric, I've equated this whole thing to like a jury of our peers. The jury is deciding life and death of people, and they don't 100%. Know the law at all.
They don't know, and they are not qualified to determine the condition of the property.
So,
like I said, I'm not. I know the law. It's insane.
It is.
Right?
So
and
we shouldn't have juries anymore?
Well, no. Well, you shouldn't have people determining life safety issues, because those they have unfortunately, if they determine that things are really bad, I mean, things look at how the condition kept at Surfside, how it kept getting, you know, progressively worse and progressively worse and progressively worse, and the board members knew, and I'm not faulting them at all, but I'm just saying they knew that they got to go in front of their community now and tell the community, well, guys, we didn't put any money away for a rainy day, so unfortunately we have to pass a $100,000 special assessment. So now go tell your neighbors that. Go tell
That's
your neighbors that
worse,
during COVID.
Right.
Right. So, you know, you vote not to have reserves, and then ultimately, if that's what you're going to do, you know that big repair is going to come, then you have to stand in front of the community and say, now we have to pass a major special assessment. You're afraid to do that. And again, your personal situation is getting in the way of what really needs to be done for the building, and therefore it's got to be removed from the board completely, and the professionals have to make that determination. All right, just got that whisper in my ear. The time is up. Again, it was great to be back today.
Hydrate.
Loved it, exactly. And don't forget, if you need legal help off the air, give Glazer and Sachs a call during the week, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Look forward to seeing everybody again next Saturday in Doral and speaking to you on the show next Sunday at 11 a.m. Yeah, and that'll be in 2 weeks in the Signature Grand. Look forward to again seeing everybody next week, and have a great, safe week, everybody.
Thanks,
Thank
Eric.
You. Thank you.